how we met and also so far in the first sitting today was on this, partly this global awareness, being aware of the whole body and tranquilizing the body. There's a whole other way of being mindful of the breath, which is not global, but rather very specific, very localized. And that's often how I was taught in Asia, to do Vipassana, and often how we teach here in the West also is, when you pay attention to the breath, choose one location. Sometimes it's called the home base, which sounds very homey. Sometimes called the anchor. Here in the West, we often, in the Vipassana retreats, we often list three most common places. It can be the belly, rising and falling, the chest, rising and falling, or the sensations of the air going in and out through the nostrils. There are a few other places that are kind of common enough, but those are three most common. And then we often say, you know, choose whichever one is most compelling, most satisfying, kind of works best for you, those three places. When I was practicing in Asia, they're very adamant, they're very to follow the breath sensations, the sensations of movement that happen down here in the belly, just below the belly button. And that was a place where we were encouraged to be present for the experience of breathing. When I was in Burma, that's where it was. And I felt very happy with that, because in Zen training, often the emphasis is to be aware of the breath down here, the hara area. And as far as I know, that the Burmese had no, and none of the hara kind of theory that they have in Japan. It was just a kind of basic good place to watch the rising and passing, lifting and falling. But I kind of liked it a lot, that there was this same, more or less the same place as the Japanese hara. And the hara is a place of strength, a place of stability, that is very helpful to kind of feel centered and balanced down here. There's an idea in Japan that when you have a lot of chi, a lot of ki energy, that you have this kind of pot belly. And one monastery I stayed in, they had these beautiful ancient guardian warrior statues, wooden statues that were about, I don't know, 5 feet high or so. And these fierce guardians of the Dharma, you know, they had swords and fierce looks, and they're there to guard the Dharma for us. And they were like from the 12th, 13th century. But at some point, and down through the centuries, they had added on to these wooden, beautiful wooden sculptures, pot bellies. You know, and they kind of attached them down here. And they did a relatively good job doing that, but they had these pot bellies. And the idea being that these guardians of the Dharma should have this good chi. And so they should have this good, you know, pot bellies, you know. Bear drinking pot bellies, you know. But there can be a lot of stability, a lot of strength that people get from keeping their attention down here low in the belly. I find that when I'm quite relaxed and sitting, that my center of gravity, my energy in a sense, is down here really low. It feels really good. But if I get pulled into some kind of very interesting or compelling thinking, I can actually feel the center of gravity, feel the kind of sense of energy, a sense of something kind of lifting up, kind of uplifting kind of feeling in my body as I go up into those thoughts. So you can feel it in your body like this, right? And I lose that sense of being balanced and grounded down here. It's very nice to have this as a nice, balanced, grounded area. So anyway, another way of doing the breath meditation is not to do it globally through the body, but actually choose one location. And then that has a few benefits. One benefit is that it's easier sometimes to develop continuity if you have one place. You have one place, you stay right there, you keep the mind there, the mind's not moving around different places. And also, it's a nice, if your mind does go off, then you go back automatically to that place. You don't have to question, where should I pay attention to now? I have to go back to the breath, should it be in the chest, or where should it be? If you just have your anchor, your home base, just go back there without any thinking about it. Just, that's my home base, I just go back there. Go back. And you have your home base. What I find is that I generally use the lower belly as my home base. But as a concentration deepens in practice, then that the place of the home base shifts a little bit, as it seems more appropriate to pay attention. For me, actually, it varies a little bit. It goes from down here to up here, and varies a little bit. you know, depending on what's happening for me, where the attention is. But I let it kind of, I follow where the center of gravity for the breathing seems to be. But you know, it's, the idea is that you keep it more or less in one place. So let's try that. See if that works for some of you. Maybe some of you already done this, I'm sure. But so take a comfortable, alert posture. Gently close your eyes and establish that calm, deliberate presence, awareness for your posture, for yourself here. You might begin by taking a few long, slow, deep breaths, and as you exhale, letting go into your body, relaxing into your body. Breathing in and breathing out. We'll take a few moments here just for you to breathe whatever way is settling for you, grounding, connecting. And then look around and see if you can find a particular location that can be your home base for staying with the breath experience. So you might be the belly, lifting and falling, moving, rising and falling. It could be the chest, the center of the chest. Could be the sensations of the air going in and out through the nostrils. Spend some time exploring these different options. You see if there's one of them which is most compelling, or most satisfying, most comforting, most pleasant, that you'd like to establish as your home base. If it's all equal, then choose the belly. Maybe an inch or two below the navel. Maybe a couple of inches back behind the surface of the skin. And having chosen a home base, then spend some time getting familiar with it. The simplicity of it, the sensations there, how the in-breath is experienced differently than the out-breaths in that place. Keeping your attention in that home base, be aware also what it's like when the breath shifts, switches from breathing in to breathing out, then from out to breathing in. In that place. And then for the next few breaths, give really careful attention to the beginning of the in-breath. And notice, what is the sensation that lets you know that the in-breath's breathing in has begun? And what's the experience that heralds the beginning of the inhalation in that space, in that place, in your home base? And then in that home base where you're paying attention to the breathing, notice what is the last sensation that seems to be present as you breathe in, that represents breathing in. What's the last experience, the top of the inhalation in that, in your spot? And then between the start of the inhalation and the end of the inhalation, can you be aware of any other sensations or experience in your home base connected to the inhalation, in the middle of the inhalation? What experience, what sensation, how is that middle part experienced? Now, could you very gently connect or feel the continuity of all three phases of breathing in? It might happen very fast, but be very relaxed about it. Just feel the beginning, the middle, and the end of breathing in, the sensations that mark those experiences. And now bring your attention to the beginning of the exhalation in that home base place of yours. What's the first way that you experience that you're breathing out? And then what's the last sensation that seems to represent the process of exhaling? And then between the beginning and the end of the exhalation, how do you experience the exhalation in the middle? What sensations or experience let you know that you're in the middle stage of exhaling? Over the next few breaths, see if you can connect all three aspects of the exhalation. So you're there, very attentive, sensitive, careful, beginning, middle, and end of the exhale. And then, you know, in a relaxed but dedicated way, connect all the parts of in-breath and out-breath, beginning, middle, end of breathing in, beginning, middle, end of breathing out. And staying the course, staying there present, staying connected to the full cycle of breathing in and out. Right there in your home base. And then if you'd like to make the breathing a little bit calmer, then as you exhale, you can let go with the exhale. When you get to the end of the exhale, let there be a pause. It could just be a fraction of a second before you breathe in again. See if you can stay continuously present for the full cycle of breathing at the place of your home base. If you took a sponge and were to wipe down a table, maybe you'd keep the sponge touching the top tabletop the whole time that you're wiping it down. You wouldn't pull the sponge up, you'd just keep it there in touch. In the same way, keep your attention resting or in touch with a full experience of breathing in and out, beginning, middle, and end of each part of the cycle. You're not going to let the mind wander off the table of the breath for even a moment. we'll stay one more minute in the meditation, and this last minute, see if you can really make effort, good, strong effort, to not lose touch with the breath at all. 1 minute, completely there. If a person can have some concentration in staying with a particular location where the breath is experienced, there's a lot of benefits that come from that. It can be very relaxing, very tranquilizing. In fact, sometimes I found that when I've done kind of tranquilizing my body through just a whole breath body, it feels good, it's nice to do. And then I've switched to just focusing very intently on one particular place, that without trying to tranquilize or calm myself at all, that I actually get more calm by focusing on one place than I am by just kind of staying globally and relaxing. There's something about when the mind gets really absorbed, really attentive, very focused, completely on one place, one spot, or one small thing, that it's very hard to maintain enough mental energy to sustain the tense habits of mind that might be there. And it's kind of a way of a little bit starving some of the other things that go on, our distractions, our preoccupations, our fears, our emotions. And so, you know, it's like we're fully in there and everything else falls away. Maybe it's not a very good example. Maybe it's a terrible example, but, you know, maybe you've had the experience of driving in a car someplace, in a freeway maybe, or someplace, and you have your concerns and your thoughts and things that are important and you're worried about or whatever. And then you have a near-miss dangerous accident. And after that near-miss, suddenly you find yourself so clear, alert, and all those concerns just have fallen away, and they don't come back very quickly, you know, just like... sometimes if you go for a run or do some exercise, that can sometimes cuts through some of the preoccupations that have been with us for some time. So to be able to focus on one particular thing, like the breath, can be a really great way of cutting through our preoccupations. When the preoccupations are cut through, there can be a tremendous settling and relaxing that can happen. And I'll talk more this afternoon about the benefits of this kind of careful attention. But for now, maybe we can have a few comments from people what that was like. Was that more difficult than the first, or easier, or was it... What was the experience like? Yeah.
I had a hard time focusing as specifically on aspects of my breath as you were asking us to. As far as a home base was concerned, it was really hard to focus on my belly or my heart, but you know, I noticed an upwelling in my body, culminating in my throat with each in-breath. Mm-hmm. It was hard to focus on one part of my body. And as far as the different aspects of the breath were concerned, the beginning and the end, that was pretty slippery too. The in-breath was, it happens so automatically. It's, I'm already a quarter second or a half second into the in-breath before I can start to notice it. I can't notice what's actually happening at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the in-breath, it tapers off so gradually. It gets to a point where there's nothing to notice at the end. So I was... should I keep trying to notice these very specific aspects?
I think it was great what you noticed. To notice all those things is fantastic. I think you did it just right. And so that's one of the options we have in practice, is to have that kind of specificity. Really go in there and really be very, very attentive to those details. And now, you know, you guys have been just sitting for, you know, the second sitting, you know, this morning at our thing here, and you know, you probably don't have that much concentration. But this kind of exercise of really looking carefully at the finesse of the sensations of the breath, the beginning, middle, and end, sometimes works a lot better if you've been on retreat for a few days and your mind is quiet and concentrated and developed. And once the mind gets really concentrated and settled, it's remarkable how much detail you can pick up in one in-breath. You can pick up dozens of sensations, dozens and dozens, just phenomenal, a kaleidoscope of sensations that just, you know, that, you know, someone walking off the street and meditating, they're just lucky if they even find their breath. You know, or find, you know, they don't, I breathe in, I didn't know that. And it happens so quickly, you know, you say the breath might be very quick. But as, you know, when you get settled and relaxed, that's a place time you can really get to. Very, and that's one way. I talk more this afternoon about that. That's one way of doing this practice. And some people find that's not a very helpful way to practice in daily, you know, daily sitting at home and daily life, because they don't have the concentration for it. It's more to do, better to do on this global awareness, or the way you described it, being aware of the movement through the body. Some people find it very compelling to do that kind of one. Localize attention.
I've been doing a lot of work on books. Can you hear me?
Did he go off? Is it on? I think it's off. Is the light on? Light's on, then it's on. Yeah, it's on.
I've been doing a lot of paying attention to my nostrils. And I have a preference, really, to focus on my belly. So I was glad to sort of be given permission or be invited to do that. But what happened was, it was sort of like the Chinese ribbon dance. Because as I focused on the muscles in my belly, my nostril was a ribbon that just followed. So there was this interweaving between the movement down here and the following up here. It was very interesting. I also found that the in-breath seemed very clear to me, very, all the beginning, the middle, the end, the interplay, the pause. But the relaxing, the out-of-breath, was more subtle, was more difficult for me to define that as clearly. And I found myself getting a little tense with trying to make the sensation of the out-breath be as apparent as the in-breath.
Yeah. So there's no need to make make yourself tense. It's normal, natural, to have the one cycle of the breath be less clear than the other. And that's just the way it is, and you just work with that. But one of the very interesting things is that if there's some point in the cycle of breathing which is not so clear, less clear than the other, like often the end of the out-breath for people, it's not so clear, it gets vaguer, but it could be other parts of the cycle. That's the most likely times when the mind's going to wander off in thought. An idle mind will get in trouble. An idle mind, if the mind is not engaged and attentive, the mind will wander off in its thinking. So if you know that pattern, if you notice, start noticing a pattern, you might look and see, you tend to wander away, you know, most regularly at a particular point in the cycles of the breathing, at the end of the out-breath or the end of the in-breath. Sometimes people can notice that, oh, I'm almost always wander away at the end of the out-breath. If you notice that kind of pattern, then you can use that in your favor by just knowing, okay, I'm coming to the end of the out-breath. I need to kind of just give a little extra for that moment, just to kind of see it through until I get the in-breath again so that I don't wander off. And that, you know, that can be helpful.
I found that when I was doing the in-breath, it was hard. Although I was kind of counting to see, it felt very tense. Mm. But then when I was doing, that's the out-breath, when I was exhaling, it felt nice. And then when I got to the end of it, and you kind of said at that time, try and pause for a minute. I found that I really liked the pause, but I couldn't stay there. And I had to take the breath again. But the taking the in-breath, I was very much aware of, it's not comfortable, but the out-breath
is comfortable.
Is, yeah, very. And then I just want to come home.
That's great to see that. And so, with all these things, you know, when you notice a difference and you notice these kinds of details in the breath, that's really a good mindfulness practice. And then the trick is not to make a story out of it or a judgment or feel like this is wrong, I should be different, you know, it should be just, it's enough just to see it really clearly. This is how it is. Last one.
So I noticed something that seemed interesting to me, and that is at the end of the out breath, I was tightening, there's a grabbing as if it wouldn't allow the, which is kind of the opposite of what you would think, was as if it was something tightening down and then wouldn't let the rest of the breath out.
At the end of the out-breath, the tightening down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then I went sitting there, I was trying to explore that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the operating word, explore that, find out. There's I think oftentimes at the end of the out-breath, especially if you feel it in your belly, there might be one last little tug or pull by the diaphragm. And so you do feel kind of a gripping, a pulling. It might be very quite natural there. Sometimes, however, there might be some fear that comes into play at the very end of the out-breath. And some of the gripping is, oh no, I don't have to let go, I have to surrender. And it's very interesting to kind of work with that fear at the end of the out-breath, if it's there, and just learn to surrender completely. Out-breath invites us to surrender, and sometimes we don't want to. So, I would like to spend the last few minutes before lunch, maybe 20 minutes or so now, 15, 20 minutes, we'll see, of having you break up into small little groups of maybe three people, and I'd like you to have a chance to talk about your experience of breath meditation, your relationship to breath, your interest in it, what your questions around it might be,